I'd appreciate your prayers this morning. I got just a little simple thought that I'd like to give today. I want to start in the fourth chapter of Mark. I'll start with the 36th verse of fourth chapter. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. I just want to look a little bit this morning. There arose a great storm of wind and waves. In the Bible, there's quite a bit of use of the idea of storms. And I think there's a lot of thought that goes into that as an analogy. This was talking about a natural storm, of course. But the Bible uses storm quite a bit. So I'd like to think about it a little bit, what it actually means, what a storm actually is. It's got some certain qualities to it, I think, that is interesting to look at. How do you stop a storm? Do you remember when Jesus, maybe it's just in this passage, it is in this passage, but Jesus, they marveled at him because what manner of man is this that can say to a storm, peace be still? So storm has an element that what as humans can we do about a storm? We will try to do, and maybe rightfully, we will try to take care of things that happen in life. If you can avert things, change things, all these things. But what can you do with a storm? I believe it's accurate to say that the ancient people, many of them, looked at a storm as being controlled by a god of some sort. They gave it a definition and idea, and many of them made sacrifices because a storm is fearful. A storm by its nature is bigger than we are. It wouldn't be a storm if it's not bigger than me. It might be a puff, it might be a breeze, but it, by its very nature, it's destructive. By its very nature, I can't stop it. The storms that happen, and it says, and there arose as if it came out of nowhere. I mean, it was not predictable. I know they're somewhat predictable now, but only in the sense that the elements are right to create it. There's nothing predictable about it in the long term of what it's going to do, where it's going to go, how it's going to act. Somewhat they predict these things. But even if they did predict and said there's a tornado likely to run right up through Green Bank, what's Green Bank going to do about it? We the only thing we can do about it, there's things you can do about it. You can ask the one that can say, peace be still. You can ask him to divert it. You can ask to change. But the storm was so relative to the time. It's so predictable, even or at least in the sense that in our lifetimes we'll face storms. What do you do to stop wind? I guess you can make wind breaks if you wasn't looking for the future of the winds, you had wind break. What would you do in an instant if a wind arose? What would you do to, you know, I know it's all a part of God and God does everything right, but from a natural point of view, I don't have a lot of use for wind. I told my son the other day, we was trying to fish or something, and I'd throw my line out and it'd blow back up the river. The wind was really blowing, and I said, I've just never been partial to it. And I said, well, that's not always true. I mean, I remember times that we'd go out in the field to try to fly a kite, and you couldn't fly the kite because there was no wind. but other than that, I mean, the wind. But what do you do about the wind, the storms? There is only one thing to do about the storms. I want to say this about storms. I don't find anywhere in the scriptures any place where the Lord has said, I'm going to stop this. I'm going to keep you from ever having storms. No, another thing about storms, do you know that storms are totally indiscriminate? They don't care what color you are, what age you are. They don't care where your economic status is. The wind will blow down your house. The tornado is going to tear into rich people's, poor people's, beggar man, thief. It doesn't have. It's totally indiscriminate about what it does. The storms of life arise into our lives, and we're going to have to face the storms of life. And we want to survive them. I don't want to be destroyed by the storms of life. I want to be able to be at the end of it. When Paul got through with his journey in 2 Timothy 4, he said, I have fought a good fight. Look at what it entailed. He fought with beasts at Ephesus. He fought with the false prophets. He fought with spiritual things in high places. He fought with shipwrecks. He fought with discouragement. He was thrown in jail. He was whipped a number of times. You imagine being whipped like that. He done all of that, and he stayed the course. The storms arose. The wind blew. The ship was wrecked. All of those things happened. But at the end of it, he was able to say, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. After all of that, where lesser people, lesser convictions, where those that were beside me saying, I'll be with you, Paul, have dropped aside and went back to the world, I can say, I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. I have went through all of this and all of the evil that was betiding me, all of the discouragement that happened to me, I still believe in God. I still trust God. You know, that's where we want to get to. We want to, no matter what the storm that comes, I know God leads true, and I want to survive whatever the storm is. You know, there's been a lot of people that have went through the hardship and said, it's not worth it to me, and turned back from the Lord. I want to be successful, and the storms are going to come. I had something interesting happen yesterday. I got a message on Messenger yesterday from Kenneth Probst. That would be Alyssa's grandpa and Marlia's grandpa. And I got a message from him yesterday on my Messenger. And I said to my wife, for everyone listening, Brother Kenneth passed away over 3 weeks ago or so, or a month ago or something. He passed away. And so I said to my wife yesterday, do you think this one's a scam? You think this one's a scam? I think I can predict this one. Unless there's some ability to message from the great beyond, this is a scam on this one. So I had the heads up of knowing that it wasn't Brother Kenneth, but I would have known it anyway because the message starts out, I was just thinking about you today and wanted to drop you a message. And, well, that never happened before. I knew Brother Kenneth, but that wasn't really Brother Kenneth's style. And so I was fairly sure that it wasn't Brother Kenneth. And so, anyway, he went on and said, I just wanted to drop you a message, see how you was doing, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. I'm blessed. I said, how are you? And he says, well, I had to go to the doctor and had strep. And I said back to him, well, how are you doing now? And he said, am fine. Am fine, doing better. Am fine is something that I am something is something I face almost every day from the folks in Africa. Their English is lacking, and it's a normal expression to say, I am going to town. They don't say I am or I'm. They say am, going to town, and all this. And that was one thing in the message that I immediately said, that isn't an American. And so a little bit in the conversation, there's another thing that's commonly done in the Africans with the people I know from Africa. When you ask them how they're doing, they'll say somehow. Now, if you've not dealt with them, that wouldn't make sense to you at all. But they will say somehow. And what that means is, it's almost with a little pity in it, for self-pity. And it means, I'm better, but I don't know how. Somehow, I'm better. And so they've shortened it just to say, I mean, a lot of them do it. I face it regularly, somehow. So anyway, with the language that the guy had used, I ended up talking with him a little while and say, where are you from? And the answer was United States of America. Well, most people in the United States would say Chicago or South LA. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people like that. But if you answer United States of America, no, that doesn't seem right. And I said, no way. You're not. Where are you actually from? And it was Washasa, whatever it was, Alaska, where, I mean, it was on his page. So he was from Alaska. And I said, really? And he said, yes. And I said, no way. So I pointed out the discrepancies, actually wrote them down and said, this is what my African friends say, and this is the correct. This is what the African friends say, and this is what's correct. And this way, where in Africa are you at? I mean, you're not from the United States. You're from Africa somewhere. So where is it? And it took a little while to get there, but it ended up being Nigeria. I'm from Nigeria. And I said to him, I said, I'm not here to condemn you. For what you're... No, I asked first, are you proud of this, what you're doing? And the answer was no. No, I'm not. I said, do you make much money doing this? No, I don't. So I asked the guy, what's your name? And he was reluctant for that. And finally I said, I'm not here to condemn you. But my friend, I want to help, if I can help you in any way. I want to help. His name is, I don't know how you would pronounce it, but I would say with my experience with their names, it's probably Tim Topi was his name. And he said, I'm just trying to survive. Everything I do, no, I'm not proud, but everything I do is to try to survive. He says that I actually video called him to confirm that who he was. He ended up, we got off of that, and he actually messaged me, so we wasn't on the Kenneth site. But I actually got him to call me and saw him. He's a young man trying to support not his siblings, and trying to make it. And he said, "I'm trying to survive." You know, that really touched me. I'm trying to survive. I don't think much about the idea of just surviving. I don't go a daily routine thinking I'm just trying to survive. I think sometimes of getting better, getting more. I think sometimes of that, but I rarely think in the idea of surviving. And it kind of made me to think about this idea of the storms that come into life. And he ended up mentioning, I talked to him for about 2 hours on stuff, getting to know him and talking to him and trying to encourage him that the Lord asked him if he went to church. And he actually sent me a little deal saying something about, may the grace of God be on you. I asked him if he was, if he went to church, and he said, not really. And I tried to encourage him that there is something to survive more. There's something to survive more than just surviving physically. There's something to survive because it would be the ultimate shame to me to have a terrible, miserable life here and then have to have a terrible, miserable life in the great beyond. I mean, would that, to have to go into eternity that way. I want to encourage him. God's got something better for you. If you can put, I believe this, if you can put your faith and hope and trust in God, God can do something for you better than that. And I don't know what you think of a scammer. This was a scammer. Sometimes we can look at the world around us. We can look at them. I'm going to tell you, these are people and many times driven to needs. I don't think it's ever right to scam and be doing that stuff. I don't think it's right. But what desperation people get to want to survive. So there's going to be storms come. What are we going to do? What are we going to do in our lives? What preparation can we make? You know, they sometimes will predict a storm down in the Caribbean somewhere, down in the southern part of the world, and it's gearing up, and they start predicting the atmosphere's right, the temperatures, water temperatures is right, this is right, the path is right, that this is going to be a major hurricane. And the closer it gets, the better we can predict its path with pressures of systems and all. And all the models show that here it's coming and it's going to hit the east side of Florida and going to go up the coast. And people start going and getting plywood. They start boarding up their windows and they start doing things. And there's, if you've ever been down there, you'll notice that there's highways that actually is escape highways. There's highways that's designated to get out of here, highways, there's preparations because here's going to come a storm and you don't want to be in this storm. Here's what you got to do to be able to deal with these storms and stuff that's going to happen in life. And then you can't, God has never said to his people, I'm never going to send a storm over your head. I'm never going to allow you to be in a storm. As a matter of fact, it's opposite of that. We're going to face, the God will allow the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. It's going to rain on the just and the unjust. There's not going to be, God's going to allow the things of life to come right down our way. Economic problems in the United States will face every one of us. When inflation hit, we all have to pay the same price for gas. Eggs went up, we got to pay the same price for eggs. You got to do all of that. The only thing is that it affects the people on the margins more than it does the people that's prepared and have laid up and have got extra and have worked hard all their life, and people that's living right on the edge of that it affects greatly because they don't have enough to do all of it. If you understand what I'm saying. So sometimes there's a preparation that the Lord wants us to meet. And I think I'm going to look at it spiritually from a spiritual point of view. I think the Lord has designed. What is the song anyway? Because it keeps coming into my mind. The storms around us beating. Though the storm. What is that song? Is that Alone with God? What is that song? Can you give me that, Brother Mansell, just that part of it? Though I think it's Though the Storms Around Us Beating. Linda, do you know what that song is? Oh, when the storms of life around us beating. When rough the path I have trod. You got that, Brother Mansell? I didn't bring a songbook up here.
When storms of life around me beating, when rough the path I have trod, within my closet door retreating, I love to be alone with God.
Okay, within my closet door retreating, love to be alone with God. So there was an answer to the storms that come in life. So, very familiar passage in the 7th of Matthew. There is trees down in Louisiana. Brother Manson would know these well, those that's been down there. They're called live oaks. And some of these trees down there are gigantic trees that have weathered the storms for decades, many decades. They stand there and they put off these big limbs and they kind of grow out. They don't grow tall. That would be a mistake. They kind of stay down, but a lot of them grow off with a lot of limbs, big limbs, and they do that. And they claim that they withstand the storms come, and the pressure of that storm causes that tree to dig in more. It grows there, and the way it grows, and it's able to withstand it where your tall pine-type trees down there, it'll make matchsticks out of them. Them storms will come in and just cross them over. But the trees that can survive that are these big low-like trees that have enormous root bases and all of them, and they're able to withstand those storms. The storms didn't go around them. The storms went right over top of them. And they were strong enough and tough enough to be able to take the storm of life. And as being a gardener, I was always interested in this. One year I watered my corn too much. Every day I was out watering, I watered my corn. And I watered it. And thought I was doing the best thing by giving it all this water every day. And this can happen naturally sometimes to people's corn. And what happened was that the corn never had to stick out its roots very far. Because I was giving it all the water that it could possibly need. It didn't have to force. In drier times, the corn plant will extend its roots way deep into the earth and will do that. Well, that went on, and finally it got corn on it, and all the corn was good and all that. And I get up one day after a good wind, and I went out there, and over half the patch was laying down on the ground. Pulled all on, didn't have the root system to really do it. There was another year, and I heard an ag guy from Virginia telling about this on the radio. People was talking about their tomato plants around in the area had really died earlier than they should have, and had a lot of problems with the plants. And it was the year we had a lot of rain. And the guy was explaining what happened. That there was so much rain early in the year, and then when the rain cut off, it was like no rain for weeks. And he was explaining that what happened was the tomatoes made more foliage because it didn't have to make a root system to be able to withstand the drought that was coming. So the roots didn't expand out enough, and then when the dry and the heat and all that came, you had all this foliage with not enough root system to sustain the top of it. It looked beautiful. I mean, beautiful, big, lush plants with tomatoes and everything. You would have thought it was perfect. But underneath them was nothing. It was little to nothing. It wasn't sustained. The Lord does not withhold the storms from us. The Lord wants us to build the capacity to withstand things in life. He wants us to be able to go through things in life. And He will allow us to face those things. Sometimes it's criticisms. Storms come in all kind of ways. Sometimes it's physical things to our body. Sometimes it's emotional things. Sometimes it's a loss of job. Sometimes it's one thing. Sometimes it's another. But they all have the same element to them. They're bigger than we are. They're indiscriminate, and there's nothing we can do about it by ourselves. There's nothing we can do to stop this. But in the 7th chapter of Matthew, The seventh chapter of Matthew, at the end of the chapter, is the culmination of what the Lord says about the Beatitudes. About the, from the fifth chapter of Matthew through the seventh chapter of Matthew, the Lord gave the greatest sermon of history, the Sermon on the Mount, and where He gave a full instructions to life. And this is what you do. And He comes down to the end of it and says, now, I gave you the instructions of life. But storms are going to come. So He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him, unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, so the Lord gives at the end of this and says, You've heard this. I have published this to the world. Now, this is going to go down through all of time. It goes down to us. It went to them. And He says, you can hear these things and do this. But I will like to a wise man. So let's look at this. A wise man gets his materials. A foolish man gets his. A wise man goes and digs down, and he gets on that rock, and he builds on something that's solid and firm. And the foolish man then builds a house right beside his, and there's two houses sitting there, and you can't tell the difference between the two. Jesus also told the story of 10 virgins. Five of them were wise, and five of them were foolish. And there was no indication that you could tell the difference in them. No human mind can look across a congregation like this, or across the whole camp of the saints, or across the whole camp of religious ideas, and claim that we know what's going on inside. Nobody can do it. But He said of what He had said to them. Now there's two houses sitting there that we could say they look pretty much alike. The two built their houses. But a wise man built upon what the Lord said. And do you know what happened? Indiscriminately, the storms came. The storms are what they are regardless of what you do. The difference is what you do. The storms are going to come into life. But whether I stand them or not will be about whether I put what I put my faith and confidence in. You know, there's so much said in the three chapters of the Sermon on the Mount. Things like, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye. You want to build your house on a rock? You want to stand when the storms come? Don't do that. He said in the Sermon on the Mount, what is it? Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. If you want to be able to withstand the storms of life, you can't take a broad way. You can't do it. If you do, my word, if you are wise and you built on this, the storms are going to come at the end of the storms. I'm not talking physically, you know that. We're all going to have to face things. Pains will come, those kind of things. I'm talking about I want to survive like Paul did and be able to say, I've kept the faith. At the end of this, I still have my faith in God. It didn't mean I was perfect. Some people will mess up on that. It doesn't mean that you're perfect in everything. It means that you take care of everything, though. So if you look at that and all that the Lord had said in that, the things like the blessed are the poor in spirit. You want to flare up and pride and I'm going to do it my way? Well, you can, but you can't withstand a storm with that. He said, if you'll do these sayings of mine, you're like a wise man. And you build a house and you build something that's on something solid. And when it's all over, you remember the story? I don't remember what war it was. My history is bad. 1812, what was the story? The Star-Spangled Banner. The vision of what they had was like the rockets, red, they bombed it all night. Yes, it's tattered. Yes, it was worn. But they looked. Has it come down? Did they pull it down? That means you surrender. What is it that? By the dawn's early light, what did you look and you see? The flag still, when the smoke cleared away and the fog and the disturbance was all gone. That's what Paul was talking about when he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith when it all was said and done. All of it was said and over. I still have faith in God. I still stand. That was captured in this idea that they're bombing this and the Fort McHenry's gone down and all that. Did they hold? Did their courage stand? Did they pull the flag down and surrender? No, by the ship, by the early day, they looked and said, after all the bombardment and all of that, those men, some may be dead, some may be blown half in pieces, but the ones that's there still got the flag flying. They haven't given up. They're still there. The battle's still there. The storm arose. The rockets glare. The bombs bursting, and all of those kind of things. And now the storm's passed, and you can sail your ships on. Flag still standing. Still hear it all. How do you get that? Well, according to the scriptures here, this is how you do it. A wise man builds his life on the word of God. And it isn't to be taken indifferently or haphazardly, but it's to be considered in all of our life, to be a doers of the word and not hearers only, but to apply it into our lives. Pray for this young man over in Uganda. He's definitely in a storm, a very hard situation of his life over there. He wants to survive. I hope he survives more than just an... I told him we'd be praying for him. And so I want to put his prayer, his name in. Again, I don't know how to say it. I would say it is T-E-M-I-T-O-P-E. And anyway, pray for him. I don't think, in my mind, I don't think it was just by chance that he... I think the Lord allowed that to happen yesterday. And I think he's a potential. So I want the Lord to help him to be able to know. The storms are going to come. We're going to face, in our lives, we're going to face disappointments. We're going to face the heartaches. We're going to get sick in body. We're going to go down the path, every one of us. You may choose a different way of trying to go down it, but we're all going to go down the path at the end of it. We're going to go down the path. How do I stand that? How do I make it through that kind of a place? I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. I got it down to the very last. I ain't big enough to stop a storm. I'm not big enough to get through it by myself. But in this scripture, I'm going to go ahead and read the end of that in John 4 in closing. John 4 and I'm sorry, that was Mark. It wasn't John. I was in the wrong book. Mark 4 and 5. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waters beat unto the ship, so that it was full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? He's definitely the only one that can speak peace to it. But why did he allow it to happen to start with? Why is it that people go through the things that they go through in life? Well, there's a song that says something to the effect of, Lord, don't move this mountain, but give me the strength to climb. The point of it was so I don't get weaker and weaker by an activity, but give me the strength to be able to climb it. If I can climb this mountain, I can climb the next one. They might get steeper and stronger, but you do it one hill at a time. You do it one mountain at a time. You get to the place that I can climb, and I can get over that a little bit at a time. Lord, help us all to be able to withstand the storms of life. You pray for me.